Match day one didn't disappoint. After a terrific Tuesday, Wednesday evening brought us similar drama. A Ronaldo-less Real Madrid carry on where they left off last season with a classy win over Roma.
Cuts in, right foot shot, oh, it's a lovely goal! Mariano, the substitute, with the exclamation point on a terrific night for Real Madrid.
But that man, Ronaldo, wasn't out of the headlines, sent off on his Champions League debut for Juventus. But the 10 men were still too strong for Valencia.
There goes Pjanic, powerful penalty, right-footed. Again, it's precise into the corner. And Juventus double their lead. Pjanic from the spot for the second time in the game.
Meanwhile, in our featured early match, Shakhtar came from behind twice to share a point with new boys Hoffenheim.
Maicon shooting, oh my word! What a strike from the substitute! A left foot thunderbolt to level things up in Kharkiv!
Elsewhere, there were victories for Ajax, Bayern, Lyon and Manchester United. We'll bring you all the analysis and key reaction to Wednesday night's matches. So stay with us right here on Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly, European football expert. Chris Parrott is alongside me. Chris, match day one didn't let us down, and Wednesday night was thrilling. So many major headlines from this week, and notably on Wednesday too.
Yeah, definitely. Shocks, red cards. I mean, Ronaldo on his Champions League debut for Juventus sent off. Extraordinary stall and comebacks as well, but ultimately business as usual too with Real Madrid, who, without really clicking through the gears, were very impressive against a Roma team who reached the semi-finals last season. I thought Real Madrid were excellent in that, in their 3-0 victory.
Now, there is a Tuesday Review podcast, but it's worth mentioning that that didn't disappoint either.
No, and we could probably run the goal of the season competition right now and we'd have 5 or 10. You know,
Which was your favourite? Because we had Icardi's goal, we had Dembele's solo effort, we had the Messi free kick.
Probably Icardi's volley. It was sensational and it got into back. But then, I mean, we're going to talk a bit more, but we had an Isco free kick on Wednesday. We had Bale scoring a brilliant goal.
Mariano's effort.
I mean, honestly, talk about goal of the week. As I said, could be goal of the season already.
Let's remind you of all of the match day one results from Tuesday. Group A, Monaco 1, Atletico 2, Club Brugge 0, Dortmund 1. Group B, Messi with a hat-trick as Barcelona beat PSV 4-1, Inter 2, Tottenham Hotspur 1. Group C, Liverpool 3, Paris Saint-Germain 2. Savena Svedza 0, Napoli 0, and in Group D we had that 1-1 draw between Schalke and Porto, Galatasaray 3, Lokomotiv 0. On Wednesday in Group E, Ajax 3, AEK Athens 0, Benfica 0, Bayern 2. Group F, Shakhtar 2, Hoffenheim 2, Manchester City 1, Lyon 2. Group G, Plzeňa 2, CSKA Moskva 2, Real Madrid 3, Roma 0. And in Group H, Valencia 0, Juventus 2, Young Boys 0, Manchester United 3. Let's focus on Wednesday then, and with the holders, Real Madrid, who welcomed Roma to the Bernabeu. Watching for Match Day Live, Richard Connolly.
It's Isco over the wall, delightful! Never even moved. Isco lifted it up and brought it down, and the holders lead a minute before half time. A delightful free kick from Isco, a touch of class to start the defence of Real Madrid's trophy. And now Modric finding a galloping Gareth Bale, who scores! A marvellous finish from Gareth Bale at full pace. He drilled it across the goalkeeper into the far corner. Well, there is life without Ronaldo at the Bernabeu. Cuts it, right foot shot, oh, it's a lovely goal. Mariano, the substitute, with the exclamation point on a terrific night for Real Madrid. A thumping victory over last season's semi-finalists. And Mariano with a curler to make it Real Madrid 3, Roma 0.
Real Madrid unsurprisingly up and running with a win. Joining Chris and myself now is Richard Connolly. Richard, did Roma really look like they were going to get anything from this game for you at any point over the course of the 90 minutes?
Well, they posed an intermittent threat on the counter-attack. You could say that about them. I mean, I think that they probably had their best passage when they looked to be the most defensive, funnily enough, and that would have been the second two-thirds of the first half when they reined their ambitions in and looked to play on the counter-attack. It was at that time when they just weren't clinical enough. They didn't take the right passes on the counter-attack, but it felt like that was their best chance of getting something from the match. Isco's free kick, of course, put Real Madrid in front just before half-time, and they certainly deserved to be in front. Olsen made a couple of decent saves. Real Madrid had the bulk of the ball, the bulk of the chances in the first half. There was a chance to equalise. Cengiz Under forced a good save from Keylor Navas just after the break, and that was one counter-attack they did take well, and the passing was sharp and early, and they got Cengiz Under into a decent position. But then after that, again, you felt Real Madrid were mastering the ball very effectively. Gareth Bale struck the crossbar before he scored, a kind of trademark old-school Gareth Bale goal. You recall the days of him galloping down the left wing for Tottenham Hotspur. Well, this was kind of that sort of position, left-hand side, found by a beautiful through ball from Luka Modric, and he drilled it across the goalkeeper to make it two. And after that, it never really felt like Roma were getting a foothold in the game. Kolarov forced a good save from Navas with one of those trademark cannons from outside the penalty box, and Real Madrid kind of took it fairly easy. You sense that it would have taken a goal back from Roma to push them into third or fourth gear, and then they would have gone on again. But while they could get away with not doing that, they kind of sat back and conserved some energy, and that's fair enough. That's part of the strategy that means you peak in March and April and May, isn't it, to not give everything in the first few months before Christmas. And Mariano Diaz finished Roma off deep in the towards the last 5 minutes with a curling effort into the far corner. Asensio, on as a substitute, had almost scored an outrageous goal as well, pirouetting through and trying to beat Olsen with a no-look shot on goal. And the goalkeeper did well to save.
So, didn't look happy with that, Richard, you?
I thought it was a little bit of a liberty, to be truthful. There was 12 minutes to go. It was 2-0 and they were on top and they deserved to win. But if he kept looking at the ball and where the goalkeeper was, he'd lifted it over him into the net, and he tried to put an extraordinary flourish to what was a wonderful piece of skill to pirouette right between defenders. And it was a breathtaking moment, and it would have been a breathtaking goal, frankly, without the slightly overconfident, in my view, attempt to finish without even looking. I mean, it would have gone down in history as one of the great goals, but it was possibly an early attempt to showboat, really, when the opponents weren't completely on the canvas.
And from Roma's point of view, Richard, semi-finalists last season, yeah. You know, one of the surprise packages. They've struggled domestically so far. They had a lot of changes in personnel in the summer. It looks like it's going to take Eusebio Di Francesco a little bit of time to get Roma up and running in 2018-19.
Yeah. They didn't really look like a side who've worked out the balance yet. And that's principally about the midfield, isn't it? From where Nainggolan and Strootman have departed. The goalkeeper, Olsen, as we've said, in for Alisson, of course, who's off with Liverpool these days. I mean, you know, he made a handful of really excellent saves, and you wouldn't complain about his performance. But the midfield tonight, they played Nicolò Zaniolo in for his first game for Roma. I mean, he hasn't played in Serie A yet, but he came in to start at the Bernabeu, a young player of great potential, who they obviously rated sufficiently highly to make sure that he was part of the deal when Nainggolan went to Inter Milan, but then haven't seen fit to play him in Serie A to this point. He came in tonight. I don't think he did a great deal wrong, but De Rossi was being pulled back into the defensive position so often to try and help reinforce that defence, and actually did a really good job of protecting them, intercepting crosses at various different points, that it always felt like they were a little undermanned in there. And Zonzi played his part, but they certainly didn't get themselves forward, weren't able to boss the ball really at any point in the game. And actually interesting that I've got some quotes from Daniele De Rossi speaking immediately after the game to Sky Sport Italia. And it says, you know, you always get a bit demoralised, said De Rossi, when you face a side who make you run around like headless chickens. But that is their quality, he said. Oh, we made some mistakes too, he acknowledged. But I mean, you know, that's the feat. I mean, that he's experienced enough to be able to speak his mind and tell you exactly what it was really like out there. But still, that's some statement. That's the feeling, I guess, you must have at the Bernabeu when these white shirts are just popping. And that's the quality of Casemiro and Kroos and Modric in the midfield. In that sense, it's no shame that the Roma midfield was so outplayed. against the midfield, which we could probably acknowledge is the best in world football.
Yeah, completely. Also in this group, Chris, Plzeňa 2, CSKA Moskva 2. Real drama here. The home side 2 up.
Yeah.
And the Russians came back into it.
I mean, they were brilliant in the first half, Plzeňa and Mikhail Kremenchik, with both of the goals. It could have been 3 or 4. And actually, we were talking then, a win for Plzeňa at that stage. And you thought, if Roma lose, all of a sudden they'll just see a real opportunity. And then CSKA, after half time, came roaring back. Fedor Chalov got them back into the game with an excellent finish. And then in the 95th minute, penalty given, Nikola Vlasic stepped up. Super finish. Finished 2-2. So a point for those two. And Plzeňa, the way they started the game, will be very disappointed.
A draw, a good result quickly, Richard, for Roma, do you think? Is it good that Plzeňa and CSKA have drawn the other game?
I think that's the good news for them out of the night, isn't it, really? I mean, it did look, as Chris was saying, that was going to go Plzeňa's way, and maybe that would have given them the possibility of taking the 6 points and making the group a little bit awkward. But as it stands, I think that is the good news for Roma tonight.
A win for Real Madrid, a share of the points between Plzeňa and CSKA. CSKA host Real Madrid next on Tuesday, the 2nd of October, and Roma take on Plzeňa in the Italian capital. To Group H next, where Cristiano Ronaldo returned to Spain with his new club Juventus. They took on Valencia. Lots to talk about here. Phil Blacko is your commentator.
Cristiano Ronaldo. Well, this is incredible. Less than half an hour into his Champions League debut for Juventus, and the top scorer in the history of the competition has been shown a straight red card. Miralem Pjanic over the penalty for Juventus. Last minute of the first half, and he scores into the corner. Neto went the right way, diving to his left, but couldn't get there. And Miralem Pjanic gives the 10 men of Juventus the lead. Here goes Pjanic, powerful penalty, right-footed. Again, it's precise into the corner. And Juventus double their lead. Pjanic from the spot for the second time in the game. Valencia 0, Juventus 2.
Phil Blacker joins Richard, Chris and myself now. Phil, so much talk will be about the Ronaldo incident. Can you break down exactly how it unfolded and how he ended up picking up that red card?
Yeah, it was an incident which seemed to stun the entire stadium for a good 10 minutes or so, actually, in the immediate aftermath of it. It was a really difficult night for Felix Brick, the referee, because this particular incident and the 3 penalties that he gave in the game were all really for off-the-ball incidents. There was so much going on. The Ronaldo red came from across from the left-hand side as Juventus were attacking. Alexandro delivered it, and Ronaldo was battling for it with Jason Murillo, the Colombian centre-back, on the edge of the penalty area. Murillo then went down very heavily under pressure from Ronaldo, who then, for good measure, followed up, seemed to almost grab the top of his head, sort of sarcastically saying, get up again. The referee at that stage had already stopped the play. He went to speak to his additional assistant behind the goal, who had a very good view of it. A long conversation went on between the two of them, and then out came the straight red card, to the astonishment of Ronaldo, I think a lot inside the stadium as well. He left the field eventually in tears. He stood for a long period in the mouth of the tunnel, just soaking up the scene, trying to take in what had happened, because I think we all expected he would be a huge part of this story on his debut in the competition for Juventus. Just not quite the story that unfolded. But the resilience of his teammates in the display that followed ultimately showed what they could do without him, rather than, as we were more expecting, what sort of a force Juventus could be with Ronaldo.
Extraordinary story, Phil. I saw a stat on social media. Players to receive a red card in the first half of a Champions League match for Juve. He's in very good company. Peruzzi, Davids and Zidane, which is a decent list to join.
Did you get that?
It just popped up. I definitely didn't know it off the top of my head. But I mean, but what a phenomenal start to his, not the one he wanted, but quite amazing.
Chris, I know you've seen a lot of Juve as well. I suppose, Phil, they've shown their quality a little bit tonight, because they really had to dig deep to get that result. And there was a late penalty as well for Valencia, which was saved by the goalkeeper.
Yeah, even when it looked like Valencia were finally going to find a way through in the 5th minute of 6 added on at the end, so it probably wouldn't have altered the outcome at all, they still couldn't find a way past Wojciech Szczęsny. In fairness, before that, Szczęsny, he'd made a couple of decent saves, but he hadn't been overly extended, really. So effective were the defence in front of him. If you are going to be in this sort of situation with 10 men away from home in the Champions League, then if you have Bonucci Valenti and Chiellini in your ranks, you're always going to stand a chance. And I think Valencia found on their return to this competition after a couple of seasons absence exactly what it is going to take to be genuine contenders in this competition, what the elite level is like, because Bonucci and the captain Chiellini were brilliant in organising the defence, those in front of them as well, who got back behind the ball and putting bodies on the line. And when they were afforded the chance from the penalty spot, Valencia, after Regani, who just come on, committed the foul, Szczesny was there to make the save as well. So as Bonucci has put it, we proved to be a very united team. We continue to play our football even with 10 men. We all suffered together when we had to in the final stages of the game. We did see players going down with cramp towards the end when Valencia attacked with all their players. They were basically 4-2-4 towards the closing quarter of the game with Valencia. Bonucci saying this is a great group. We proved it once again tonight. We're only on match day one, but this victory is already very important, and you can certainly understand where he's coming from.
Phil, get thinking about your man of the match as well. The other game in the group, Chris, did see Manchester United win 3-0 at Young Boys, but my impression of the game watching it was that up to that goal, the phenomenal effort from Paul Pogba, left foot edge of the box into the top corner, is that United were actually under pressure and didn't look entirely comfortable.
Yeah, actually it was quite a typical United performance, because David De Gea kept them in the game with a couple of brilliant saves, two strikes from distance, which he did wonderfully well, but then Pogba came to the fore. What a player he is, captain now, really led from the front. 1-2 with Fred, left-footed, as you said. And from that moment, United were in control. Pogba scored a penalty on the stroke of half-time to make it 2. And then teed up Anthony Martial, whose shot took a bit of a deflection off of Ali Kamara. But 3-0, a terrific start for Manchester United. And, you know, if Pogba is firing for them in the Champions League this season, like he was tonight against the debutants, Young Boys, you never know, it could be an excellent season for United.
Let's hear from the United central defender, Chris Smalling.
They posed a threat, I think. They played with a big target man and a runner off him, and they caused us problems, because we knew that they were high in confidence, because in their league, they're top of the league and they've won all their games.
Chris Smalling there, Manchester United then with the 3-0 win at Young Boys. Juve with the win as well, the two teams expected, perhaps favourites to top that group, winning their games in Group H. In one of the early kickoffs, Shakhtar took on Hoffenheim. Commentary from Steve Wyeth.
Hoffenheim on the move, and a chance, an early chance for a goal, and they have scored. And the man with the moment of history as far as Hoffenheim are concerned is Florian Grillitsch. Smiley on the over. Lappi's got a bit of space beyond the Hoffenheim defence this time. Cuts his side onto his right foot and then curls it brilliantly with the outside of the left foot beyond Baumann. And there's the equalising goal. Smiley finally getting space on the latest break forward, and Hoffenheim had no answer to him as he cut inside. Kramaric's corner, Piatov is out, but he's beaten to it by Nordveit. And what a time to score your first goal for the club. Havard Nordveit re-establishes Hoffenheim's lead. Now here's Maicon shooting. Oh, my word! What a strike from the substitute to level things up in Kharkiv. A left-foot thunderbolt from Maicon, who marks his debut in UEFA club competition with the equalising goal. Shakhtar 2, Hoffenheim 2.
What a start for Julian Nagelsmann in his first proper UEFA Champions League game in charge with Hoffenheim. His side almost came away from Kharkiv with all 3 points. Really entertaining early kickoff this one, Chris.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And Maicon's finished to make it 2-2. We talked about a goal of the season competition. We'll add this one in for match day one. It was brilliant. I think he'd be disappointed ultimately, because to lead with 9 minutes, what a start that would have been. Yeah. A win away on match day one. But Shakhtar, to their credit, Hoffenheim, when they were 2-1 up, probably should have put the game to bed. They had a number of chances, but ultimately, Shakhtar, of course, did so well last season. You know, got through, lost to Roma eventually, getting a point. Could be a big goal for that, ultimately, when both these teams will fancy their chances of going through. A point apiece, I think both will be happy enough, given the way the game went.
The big story, though, in the group really came in Manchester, where City lost at home to Lyon. Get your thoughts in a moment, Chris. Let's first of all hear from a former Manchester United defender, now at Lyon, the right-back Raphael.
Our team is very good, you know. We know that. We are not doing very good in the Ligue 1. and I hope this gives us confidence to the season. I think I did my best there. You know, it's hard. I had Sterling after they put Sané. You know, he's two quick players. I was feeling my knee at 75, where I asked to get substituted. But I think in 75, I did good.
He was up against it tonight, Raphael. But superb goals tonight for Maxwell Cornet and Nabil Fekir. I'll be honest, Chris, I didn't give Lyon any hope of coming away with points from Manchester.
No, I don't think many people did. You know, City have been perfect in the Premier League, untouchable under Pep Guardiola, really, ever since he walked through the door domestically. But again, European hasn't quite happened for Guardiola.
Guardiola in the stands tonight, of course, with Arteta on the touchline.
You know, he came to Manchester and he'd never failed to reach the semi-finals as a coach. And this is his third season. And in his first 2 years, he hasn't reached that stage. And now that they're playing catch-up, they're probably happy that the Shakhtar got that late goal, because otherwise they'd be sitting on 0 points with two teams on three. But full credit to Lyon, because when City got their one goal back in the second half, they still had 23 minutes and you thought, OK, they brought Aguero on, who'd been left on the bench. You thought, they'll score again. That's just what City do. But Lyon managed to see it through, fully deserved. And Nabil Fekir, who they kept, could easily have been playing near Manchester because Liverpool wanted him in the summer, showed what a talent he is. And I think we heard in that clip there, seems to me like Lyon, a young team, they really fancied going there and making a point, making a name for themselves. And they've absolutely done that.
Brilliant performance. Hoffenheim take on Manchester City on match day two of the UEFA Champions League in that section. Let's move on to Group E now. Earlier on today, Ajax with that 3-0 win over AEK Athens. Richard Connolly, you cover Dutch football on a regular basis. How good is this Ajax side with a mix of youth and experience in there?
Well, I think we're just starting to find out, really. I mean, they've invested a little bit in the course of the off-season, with Daley Blind coming back from Manchester United and Dusan Tadic coming back to the Eredivisie. He was formerly there with Twente, but went away, of course, to the English Premier League with Southampton. Two players whose wages, perhaps in previous years, they would not have decided to pay, but a statement to some degree of their intent, though they lost Justin Kluivert to Roma during the course of the summer. It's an excellent win for them, and they haven't been beaten at any point this season yet. That's five consecutive clean sheets for them against, yes, a variety of quality of opposition. But things are starting to build for Erik ten Hag, the coach who came into Ajax midway through last season in kind of sudden circumstances, really. And this is extremely promising. They've come through three rounds of qualifying, and to have any chance, I think, of getting out of the group and remaining in the UEFA Champions League in next year, I think this is a match they had to win, and to win it without conceding a goal. The left-back scored twice tonight, Taliafico, the Argentina international.
How good is he? He captained the national team recently.
Yeah, I mean, he's a player in his mid-20s who's come from South America to Europe at a relatively late stage.
Yeah.
But he's extremely energetic. He knows the position. If you're going to be asking him to captain Argentina, then obviously somebody who's got the respect of his fellow professionals, and he's barely made a mistake in that position for Ajax since he arrived. I don't think he's the fastest, but he is somebody quite clearly who can make an impact at both ends of the field, and by all accounts he could have had a hat-trick tonight.
Great start for them, great start for Bayern as well with the 2-0 win at Benfica. Renato Sanches, surprise start. We didn't expect to see him in the team, Chris, and then he goes and scores and gets a standing ovation back at his old club, and you think it's his first goal in club football for Bayern.
Yeah, I mean, extraordinary. 2016, he was excellent, wasn't he, when he helped Benfica. Actually lost to Bayern that season in the knockout stages. Then he won the young player at UEFA Euro 2016. And it just hasn't happened. He had a disappointing spell in the Premier League at Swansea last season. But Niko Kovac has, I think when Kovac took over, he looked at that squad and he thought, right, I know that there is a terrific player in here. So maybe, you know, let's see if I can change something. I don't know what he's changed, but he seems to have got the best out of him. He gave him a start back at his former
club.
Maybe
a smart move doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, that can basically be like a new signing. And, hey, Robert Lewandowski, who stayed at Bayern, you know, possibly wanted to leave, but he scored, as he always does, and an excellent start to the season for them domestically, an excellent start to the group stage as well.
Real Madrid, of course, with their win tonight. Gareth Bale on the score sheet for them. Let's hear from him now.
I think the performance was very good tonight. Probably the only disappointing thing is we could have scored a few more goals. But no, I think we're happy with the 3 points, and yeah, we move on to the next game.
So Richard Conley, would he be your man of the match? Gareth Bale, who comes into the reckoning?
Of course he does. I'm going to give it to Danny Carvajal tonight. I thought he was excellent at right back, but there's half a dozen contenders.
Phil from Juve's win at Valencia, your outstanding performer.
Yeah, plenty of contenders here. Pjanic scored two penalties, Szczesny saved one, but it was the defensive resilience that won it in between, and I think that was led for Juve by their captain, Chiellini.
Man of the two nights, Chris.
Has to be Leo Messi, doesn't it? Got a hat-trick, what more can I say?
I'm going to go for Renato Sanchez after his goal today. Gents, thank you very much. That's all we have time for. What a match day one we have been treated to. In our feature matches on Wednesday, the defending champions Real Madrid swept aside Roma. Meanwhile, Madrid old boy Ronaldo hit the headlines, but for the wrong reasons, a straight red card in the first half. His side was still too strong for Valencia on the night. New boys Hoffenheim led twice against Shakhtar in the end to draw 2-2. And there were wins for Ajax, Bayern, Lyon and Manchester United in the other matches on Wednesday. On Tuesday, Liverpool, Barcelona, Atletico, Galatasaray, Inter and Dortmund all picked up victories. Don't forget, you can download both nights' reviews podcasts via iTunes. But for now, from all of the Match Day Live team, it is goodbye.
Mikon shooting. Oh, my word! What a strike from the substitute to level things up in Kharkiv. A left-foot thunderbolt from Mikon, who marks his debut in UEFA club competition with the equalising goal. Shakhtar 2, Hoffenheim 2.
Here goes Pjanic. Powerful penalty, right-footed. Again, it's precise into the corner. And Juventus double their lead. Pjanic from the spot for the second time in the game. Valencia 0, Juventus 2.
Cuts it, right foot shot. Oh, it's a lovely goal. Mariano, the substitute, with the exclamation point on a terrific night for Real Madrid. A thumping victory over last season's semi-finalists. And Mariano with a curler to make it Real Madrid 3, Roma 0.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.